When did they change the colour of Polynesian sauce?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be continuing our Dynasty Stash series, looking at players who could be available or could be available at a cheaper price in your Dynasty League across teams in today's show in the Atlantic Division. So we're talking about the Boston Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets, the Sixers, the Knicks, and the Toronto Raptors. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. If you are in one of the Red Rock Challenge Roto Leagues, all of the Red Rock Challenge Points Leagues and Head-to-Head Leagues have been paid out. The Roto Leagues will be paid out at the end of this week. Fantrax takes time to finalize all the stats, and those stats won't be finalized until Thursday. And then after that happens, you will get your winnings paid directly into your Fantrax account as well. So I will tweet out once I've paid out those Roto Leagues, and then the winners of all those Roto Leagues will have a position in the Champions League for next season. Big shout out to Seth, who won the Head-to-Head Champions League, and he will be getting that fantastic Red Rock Challenge Champions League championship belt sent to him. And the, once the stats are finalized, I will mention the Roto Champions League winner as well. So Seth was that winner of the Head-to-Head League, and next year we'll be introducing a Points League Champions League as well, because this was the first year we did Points Leagues in the Red Rock Challenge. So all that's out of the way. Let's talk some dynasty stashes. We'll start with the Boston Celtics here, and the guy that I want to talk about here, because we can talk about Jason Tatum. Everybody knows about Jason Tatum. Everybody knows about Jaylen Brown, who I'm not as high on as others. I don't think he ever becomes a top 50 or even probably top 70 player. There's just too many deficiencies in his game. Yeah, low rebound, low assist rate, steals and blocks are low, poor efficiency, bad free throw shooter. He can be an impactful on-court guy, but we saw that really regress this season. I don't think he's ever going to be a top fantasy option. Tatum, I do think, has top 15 upside, significantly higher than Jaylen Brown from a fantasy perspective, although he, of course, took a big step back this season with that unsustainable shooting from his rookie season, crashing back to earth. Both him and Kyle Kuzma, two guys that I was skeptical about during their rookie season being able to shoot that well, they did it. They made me look dumb in their rookie year, but they came back to earth. And that's something that I think we will see happen. You know, it's something to bear in mind when someone shoots way above expectations that maybe a crash is going to come, and that did happen with Tatum this season. But the guy who is going to be available in quite a few dynasty leagues is, of course, the Rock DJ, Robbie Williams, the big center that taken in the first round, late first round by the Celtics. We didn't see much out of Williams this season. 31 games played. He did deal with a significant injury during the season. He had some moments, but he wasn't massively impactful that everyone's going to be all over him. He has some off-court disciplinary issues, no doubt about that. We've heard about those issues, and we know about the Time Lord nickname of him missing practice and all that sort of stuff, but he seems to have got most of that stuff under control. It's just a lot of the fact that there is significantly better players ahead of him on the roster at the moment, and he's a rookie, so there's going to be some suckiness happening. Well, let's just start quickly. He did play 5 games in the G League, averaged 15 and 10 with 2.5 blocks, shot 73% from the field, converted a nice 71% of his free throws, was dominant offensively and defensively. That's a really small sample size there, of course. In the NBA, relatively small sample size as well. Only played 285 minutes across his 31 games. Yeah, 31 games. Only averaged 2.5 points and 2.5 rebounds, but 1.3 blocks in those 9 minutes is impressive. 71% from the field is impressive, and a lot of his advanced numbers look pretty positive. A massive defensive PIPM of plus 2.68. Overall, his offensive grades didn't come out as high, but still a positive. And when you're a positive as a rookie, it's always a huge, huge sign, and that's exactly what the Rock DJ was this season. Now, on court, on off, he was a negative 7.4, which is never ideal, but when the guys playing ahead of you are Al Horford, Aaron Baines, even Vanilla Tice, guys who are seasoned pros, Tice, yes, second year in the NBA, but still a really good player, and all three of those guys were positive on-offs, plus 4.1 for Horford and plus 1.1 for both Baines and Tice. But of course, there's no guarantee that any of these guys are on this team next season or the season after. Horford has a player option, which he'll almost undoubtedly take. Baines has a non-guaranteed second-year deal. He may not be back. Tice is likely to return to this team moving forward for this season, but he is a restricted free agent as well, so he might not be back. So you'd have to imagine that one of those three centers ahead of Robbie Williams probably doesn't return to this Celtics team, and that does give him an option to move from a fourth string center playing 31 games into a third string center, or perhaps a second string center, and he could be that guy who comes in, not unlike what we saw from big chunks of Mitchell Robinson this season, in 18 minutes a night, blocks two, 2.2 shots per game. That's not a crazy number, I don't think, to think from Williams, who blocked 5.1 shots per 36 minutes this season. Obviously, that's really impressive. He did have a couple of five-block games. In Phoenix, he had an 8-8 game with 5 blocks in 24 minutes. He blocked 5 shots in 16 minutes against the Hawks, 3 shots in 26 minutes against the Pelicans, another 3 shots against the Cavs in 14 minutes in January. The end of his season wasn't great, but he did make a start on the in the season finale against the Wizards, 29 minutes, 2 points, 11 boards, 1 steal, 3 blocks. Weirdly, he took just 3 shots in that game. But we're seeing the foundation of what Williams can do. And I think you've got to look at him probably 3 years down the track and in the final year of his rookie contract for a guy that he'll never be, I don't believe, a 30-minute guy per game. No, I think Mitchell Robinson's significantly higher than that. But I think he can be a 20 to 24-minute a night center, a guy that can come in and block 2.5 shots, that can average 10 points and 12 boards, maybe a steal per game, and shoot high 60s, maybe 70% from the field. Think of a lesser type DeAndre Jordan with more blocks. That's the sort of guy Williams can become. And again, you're probably not looking at massive stuff from him next season, but just at step up the depth chart, one position is all that he really needs to start to become an impactful player. So Robbie Williams is a guy that immense talent, off-court stuff, looks to be under control. Don't want to jump too far ahead of that. But if he gets that sorted and settled, then we could be seeing some big stuff coming from The Rock. DJ, I do want to tell you about today's sponsor, and that is Wyze, the indoor camera that costs you just $20. Whatever it is that you want to use to monitor in your house, you want to check on dough that you've got proving in the kitchen while you're out in the garden, you can set your Wyze camera to record that. Check on your kids when you're out, whether you've left them home alone or you've got the babysitter there. You want to check on the growth of your herb garden, you can use Wyze to do that. They have a free rolling 14-day cloud storage service, no subscription model, and only $20 a camera for 1080p full HD vision. What more can you ask for? Two-way audio as well with Wyze. So whatever you want to use a camera for inside, Wyze can do it. You can view the stream directly from your smartphone. Again, with that 14-day rolling cloud storage, you can't ask for too much more. And to get that guaranteed best price, lowest price on Wyze, you need to go to Wyze.com, that's Wyze.com/locked, or for those of you in Australia, that's Wyze.com/locked to get yourself the guaranteed best price on a perfect Wyze $20 indoor camera. That's Wyze.com/locked. All right, let's move on to the next team that we're going to talk about here. It is the Brooklyn Nets, another team here in the playoffs. We want to look at players who have that dynasty value, and there are two guys I'm really high on with this team. And you know, I talked about these guys a lot in the preseason and had them probably a lot higher than a lot of people would have in terms of rookie dynasty rankings, and that's Janan Musa and Rowdy Rodions Kurucs. Now, a lot of people who are plugged into the NBA world, into the fantasy world, saw what Kurucs could do this season. We saw him start big chunks of games, way more than I thought he'd be able to. Musa, we barely saw. He had a shoulder injury, which lost him a lot of time, played in only 9 games this season. Let's start with Kurucs, who again made those starts when Caris LeVert went down. I thought he was pretty impressive in the limited time that he was on there. But then we saw Jared Dudley take back some of his minutes. Damari Carroll get back into the mix as well, which ended up making him a starter in name only type of a player, a guy that's out there playing 20 minutes a night, which is not all that indicative of what players can do throughout their career. But I was really impressed with what Kurucs could do. He put up some strong numbers. He showed an ability to get defensive stats in 20 minutes a game, 8 points with a 3, 0.7 steals, half a block on 45 and 78, and only hit 32% of his threes. I thought there was a lot there with Kurucs to make me think, and I've been really consistent with talking about what Rowdy Rodions can do. Really consistent in saying that this guy can be a top 100 player, maybe not next season, but probably the next year. The Nets at this point, they've been starting Jared Dudley, Trevion Graham at power forward. Kurucs, I think, is going to lock down one of those starting forward spots for the next couple of seasons, and you'll see those minutes rise. It's a Kenny Atkinson habit to play these rookies sparingly, maybe their second year as well, and then push him to 30, 31 minutes in the third or fourth season. We're seeing that with D'Angelo Russell this season. Jarrett Allen copped it a little bit this year with his minutes all over the place. So you're probably looking at the 2020-21 season for Kurucs, but I thought he did enough this season to show value, 233rd ranked player over the course of the season. Those defensive stats were impressive to me, and I thought he held his own well. He was a plus, an on-off plus, plus 1.1 on this team, which is massive as a rookie. A marginally negative PIPM held up defensively, 0.75 defensive PIPM. All those are really positive indicators as a 20-year-old rookie. He is really, really young, and that's big stuff from Kurucs moving forward. Now, if we want to look at Janen Musa, who was their first-round pick, who we didn't get to see much in the NBA, I'm big on this guy. I think he's going to be huge. Let's look at what he did for the Long Island Nets, where he averaged 20 points per game, 6 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and a steal. He shot 36% from three, hitting over 2 per game, hit his free throws at 79%, his two-pointers at 50%, really efficient stuff. Held up defensively, he's got moves, he's tall, he can handle the ball, as evidenced by the 3.6 assists. He can play point guard as a 6'9 power forward or small forward. He has got a lot to like. We didn't see really anything from him in the regular season. 2 points with half a rebound on a 46% shooting. He hit one of 10 of his threes. So nothing overly exciting there about what Janen Musa was able to do in his time with Brooklyn. But in that limited sample size, plus 7.6 on off, it is obviously an impressive number, if not, small sample size alert. His PIPM really, bang on in terms of even, which is a positive for a rookie who came in and didn't look out of place. But he is the guy. Now, Kurucs, most people are going to be all over, and I really believe in Kurucs. I think that Musa probably has a higher upside than Kurucs. I think that if everything goes right for Janen, he can become a top 50 player. He can become that guy who is a decently high volume scorer, who hits threes, who gets assists, which is going to be the key there. He's not going to block many shots. You're going to get more defensive numbers out of Kurucs, but I think that Musa's ability to have those assists along with scoring in high volume, hitting his threes, getting to the line as well, is something that Musa can do. I'm really interested to see where he goes. Now, he probably is a year behind where Kurucs is going to be, and that's fair enough. He still hasn't turned 20 yet. But Musa's a guy that, again, if Kurucs is the guy you grab, I feel he's more guaranteed to provide you value. But in terms of overall upside, Musa's the guy that I'm really, really keen on. And I could see a Kurucs-Musa starting 3-4 combination for this Nets team in 2 or 3 years' time, ahead of Dudley, Graham, Allen, Crabb. Smokin' Joe Harris is in that mix as well. Maybe he moves to a bench role. But that Musa-Kurucs 3-4 combination, or even just splitting the minutes between those guys and Harris and LeVert there, will really happen with guys like Crabb out of there, Dudley out of there, Hollis Jefferson out of there, he'll probably be gone this season. And I think you'll see Musa come into the rotation more this season, the 19-20 season. So he is the one that really, to me, is the unmined gem, the guy that not many people are aware of, they'll have little faith in, but he is a real talent. And I was excited by what I saw. If you saw any Long Island Nets game, you'll be impressed with what Musa did. Not much in the NBA side of things because of the shoulder injury and the depth of that Nets roster, but that could thin out pretty quickly. And I'm really interested in what Janen Musa is going to be able to provide moving forward. Let's look now at the next team on the list. We're looking at the New York Knicks, a team obviously that isn't in the playoffs. Nobody's surprised there considering just how bad their season was. But there is obviously some options here, some players that we need to look at. Now, in terms of guys who have the best dynasty upside, to me, it's an absolute no-brainer that it's Mitchell Robinson. He was unbelievable in terms of PIPM this season, the highest ranked rookie in that by a margin not even close, a plus 2.26. Next, Luka Doncic, plus 1.26. Interestingly, third was the Rock DJ, Robbie Williams, at plus 3.4, showing how impactful he was defensively with what he can do. So that's really impressive for Mitchell Robinson to be at that area. But he is rostered in every single league. He has got top I don't want to go too hard on him. He's got top 25 upside, I believe. I thought that he could be maybe a top 50 guy. I think I had him 12th or 11th in my Dynasty rookie rankings. I had him ahead of Kevin Knox and Colin Sexton when I did those, and I feel pretty good about that at this point. But Robinson is really, really interesting as a player. This season, he was able to put together some obviously impressive numbers. 7-6 he averaged, but 2.4 blocks in 20 minutes, 69% shooting.
Giggity!
The thing we do have to worry about is the free throw percentage and how that's going to impact things moving forward, how he can translate a 13% usage into something higher. I think he'll be able to do that. His vertical presence, his vertical spacing is huge. He's a huge athlete. Now, he's still got some things to work on defensively in terms of positioning, but his impact that he was able to have this season was phenomenal. He finished this year as the 79th ranked player. 79th. That is an astonishing number. Now, it's really on the back of field goal percentage and blocks only, but over the last month, he played 27 minutes a night and he was 40th, averaging 10-10 with 2.5 blocks and shot 71% from the field. The usage stayed the same. It's going to be, you know, the key to him getting better than this, getting pushing from the top 40 into the top 20 is bumping that usage from 12 to 15% and going from 10 points to 12.5 points with 11 rebounds with 3 blocks. And they are not stupid numbers for Robinson. He can do it. He is this guy that we got to look at. But of course, I'm banging on about him, but everyone's got him rostered. The other options I had to talk about here, Damian Dotson, who showed a bit. I'm not massively high on Dotto as a long-term prospect. I thought he was actually, you know, he showed some flashes, but overall his stuff was a little bit of a negative. He's got a limited game, but he was a plus on the court, so that's obviously a huge thing. You got Kevin Knox, who is literally the worst player, the worst rotation player in the NBA, and one of the worst, historically worst rookies of all time. Now, he has room to improve on that. The thing that I have trouble with when talking about Knox is that the problems I had with him coming into the season showed that is exactly what happened to him during the season. And so I go, well, these are the things I don't think will make Knox a good player. These are the things I think will make him a bad fantasy player. And then they played out that exact same way. So I go, where does he improve from here? Now, you can say that he, as a rookie, to play 29 minutes a game, that's good. He averaged 13 points a game. Pretty good. 1.73 is fine. He shot 37% from the field, 34 from three, 72 from the line, and offered no defensive numbers and doesn't get assists. That's the problem with him. He's just got no scope to his game. He's got no ability to contribute in other categories. He's inefficient from the field and from the line, and that's what's always going to doom him. But if we want to talk about a guy who is available in leagues, people are going to think, is it Alonzo Trier? Is he better than Luka Doncic? Well, the answer is no to both of those questions. The guy I want to talk about is the Cornetto, Luke Cornett, who started this season in and out of Fizdale's rotation. I was quite critical of David Fizdale. Not sure if you've ever listened to a podcast, but I'm not the biggest fan of him as a coach. Cornett is a guy that started many times, played well, and then inexplicably would be banished from the rotation. But his advanced numbers look really good. He was a plus 5.4 this season in not an inconsequential amount of minutes. Now, that helps the fact that Lance Thomas was getting a lot of power forward minutes. Noah Vonleh was getting a ton of those minutes, and he is not really a part of the future, although Vonleh was still a plus 2.5, which is relatively good for a guy like that. But Cornett, yeah, really impressive numbers, a plus 1.5 PIPM. I think that he is a really interesting player as we move forward. He only played 17 minutes a game, but averaged 0.9 blocks during that time. The problem you're going to have with this Knicks team is they could look completely different. Who could be manning the power forward spot next season? Kevin Durant? Could it be Zion Williamson? There are two guys there with legitimate chances of coming in and playing this spot. Now, over the last five games of the season, Small, really small sample size. Bee's dick. That's how small we're talking. 27 minutes, 9 points with 6 rebounds for 1.6 triples, but 2.6 blocks. Now, he shot poorly. That's going to be a concern with Cornette, with his inefficiency. He does shoot well from the free throw line. He's not afraid to take threes, but the shot blocking threes combination, along with some scoring, is something that holds him in good stead. He's probably never going to become a consistent top 100 player because he's just not that good, but a lot of indicators like him. I think he can be interesting. How Fizdale treats him is really the big wild card there, and what happens with this Knicks team in free agency. But if you're looking for an under-the-radar sort of guy, he's a guy I like. I'm not massively high on Trier. I'm not massively high on Dotson. Dennis Smith, I still do believe in. But again, with Fizdale and his dicking around of, you know, let's start Emmanuel Mudiay over him for a guy who's literally not going to be on the team next season, and Fizdale pretty much said that despite starting him all season over lottery picks in his team, That's not true, because Smith started over Moutier when he arrived after the trade. So I apologize, Dave. You can take that data. But you know, I'm not massively high on Kadeem Allen, who's already 26 years old as a second-year player. I'm not massively high on those guys. But Cornette's the one that does stand out to me as being interesting on this Knicks team. The next team we take a look at, the Philadelphia 76ers. We know Joel Embiid. We know Ben Simmons as young players. There's a couple of guys I was going to talk about here. Furkan Korkmaz, who showed flashes this season, but he is an unrestricted free agent. Not sure he's going to get the amount of time he needs. We saw Shake Milton put up some interesting numbers. He's an interesting deep league guy. I really like Jonah Bolden. I think that he is going to be a very interesting player. He's like the Sixers' new Rashawn Holmes, which feels lazy because they're both on the same team, but that's the sort of player that I think he can be, an impactful guy in 20-25 minutes. And we saw that this season, making some starts in place of Joel Embiid. Yeah, his advanced numbers I thought were relatively solid throughout the season. It is hard, of course, when you're coming up behind Embiid to be a massively impactful guy, especially in on-off stuff, but I thought Bolden held his own. I think he can play some moments at power forward as well, and Embiid is always going to be some missed games during a season. Bolden's an interesting one, could be part of a trade package as well if Sixers look to improve their depth at any stage. He's a name to watch, but the guy that I do really like on this team is, of course, DRC Zaire Smith, who I had, I think, at number 10 in my Dynasty rookie rankings. I'd bump him down after that. I had him behind or ahead of Mitch Robinson. I'd definitely switch those guys over. But I believe in Smith. Now, his rookie season was ruined by that broken foot, weird infection, allergy to sesame, whatever bullshit was going on there where he lost a ton of weight. But he came in, played some games at the end of the season, and I thought he looked pretty good during that time. Now, it was obviously limited playing time that we saw from Zaire. He only played 6 games, 18 minutes a game. He got 0.3 steals and blocks in that time, shot 38% from 3. We're worried about him as a shooter, even though he was a 40% shooter at Texas Tech from 3. He replicated it again here in limited minutes, which is an encouraging sign for Zaire. But it's just the overall impact that I think he can have is what gets me interested. Now, it's going to take development, and it is a real long shot as to where Zaire can come from. But I thought his advanced numbers looked pretty solid this season. I thought his G League numbers left a lot to be desired, but still, in 23 minutes, he blocked over half a shot. He had 0.3 steals. He only shot 20% from 3, so there's a little bit of a worry there with 1.5 assists. But he's a guy that I think has the potential to be a very, 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 very light Kawhi Leonard. That's the sort of trajectory he needs to take. And I think he's got the skills to develop offensively, to really get up that usage, to develop his passing, and the defensive stuff, the athleticism is all there for Zaire. So I do think there's a ton of upside. He hasn't turned 20 yet, so there's a lot there with him. A lot of the advanced stuff was interesting with him. His G League stuff, not so much, but he performed much better in the NBA. So much so that he should be in the playoff rotation ahead of someone like TJ McConnell. He's sort of already stepped up that level ahead of John Simmons, equivalent to James Ennis in this Sixers playoff rotation. That's sort of where he should be, in my opinion. But it's still a long way off him becoming that guy, and it's probably not going to be on this team, depending on what happens with Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. If both of these guys leave in the offseason, he's going to be forced into a 20-plus minute role next season, depending on how else free agency pans out. But he is a guy that I think you can have a look at, you can take a stash on, and he's got really, really high upside that people won't necessarily see by looking at what he did this season, where he averaged 7 points and 2 rebounds with a 3 mate. Like, that's nothing exciting. But I do really believe in Zaire Smith as a talent and an upside dynasty prospect. The last team we take a look at, we've got the Toronto Raptors. The guy I want to talk about here, of course, is OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
The Jedi, a really disappointing second season for OG, but I think there are a number of factors there. Not I think, I know there are a number of factors involved there. He had injury concerns, which he had a little bit last season, concussions. He's dealing with appendicitis at the moment. But most importantly, at the end of September, his father died. And we've seen how much just a slight knock in preparation, whether that's injuries, personal stuff, can really impact guys. And I think this impacted him a lot. He missed a ton of games this season due to personal issues. 3 games in October, another 3 games in November. I missed a ton of time in January as well, had that concussion to end the season with four games, and he did struggle, no doubt, this season. Now, last season, he was impressive. He shot 37% from three. That dropped down to 33% this season. His free throws down at 58 is a concern. His steal and block rate has never matched what he's been able to do in college, which is a worry there as well. But I think heading into his third season, look, the Kawhi Leonard situation is really important for Toronto, obviously, and for the value of the Jedi. But if Kawhi doesn't return to this team, Anunoby could move into a different role. Now, his advanced numbers don't really look great for him this season, and that's a concern. They looked really strong last year, but he was poor this season, no doubt. But in terms of acquiring him at a cheaper price than what you might have been able to do at other times, this is the time to do it. I am convinced that a major portion of his struggles this year were a lack of focus due to his father dying. There was no doubt about that in my mind. When you're taking consistent personal days off during the season for a death that happened a few months ago, I think it knocked him around quite a bit. And that's my worry with him. Or no, that was my worry with him during the season. I think a big bounce back could be coming. We're looking at what's going to happen with Leonard. If Leonard goes during the offseason, then Anunoby's stock rises a lot. He's already a really strong defensive player. Took some steps back this season, and it's got to come defensively in terms of the box score stats to really bring it fantasy-wise, but I do believe in him, much like I believe in Zaire Smith, that they can develop those other parts of their games, and Anunoby's a step ahead of where Zaire is, but it was a big step back for him this season, in a season that I thought he could take a step forward, but still, he played the same minutes as he did in his rookie season, scored more points per game, he got same steals, same assists, more rebounds per game. So all that is impressive. He upped his usage as well. So it's taking steps at a time. I think we're probably looking at year four for OG to become a top 150 guy. But I do believe he can really accelerate and develop into a, maybe not a potential star guy, but a top 100, top 80 sort of a player. So he's the guy, if people soured on him, and rightfully so, given his performances this season, he is a player that I think you can have a look at. Now, we know Siakam, what he's doing. He has taken one of the best steps forward in the history of the NBA. Really strong stuff from him. And a deep league guy you want to look at is Chris Boucher, who is like a Christian Wood type of a player, a guy that can be an impactful guy, maybe like a Jonah Bolden as well, in limited minutes. And I thought, yeah, he's got some real ability to push into a larger role in the next 2 years' time, depending on Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka's status. But Boucher is absolutely someone to look at. And Boucher put up some pretty good G League numbers. This pretty good. I think he was like all first-team G League this season. If we have a look at his numbers, they are really, really impressive. He averaged 27 and 11 with 4 blocks and 1.3 steals and hit over 2 threes per game. That's not only impressive, that is ludicrously impressive. Just super stuff from him. Yeah, he was the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year in the G League this season. So Chris Boucher is that guy that people won't know about. So you go and look at him, but OG is the guy that I feel a bit more secure about. But Boucher is a really interesting player, ahead of guys like Patty McCaw, Jordan Lloyd, Malcolm Miller, Normie Powell, those sort of players. Well, Fred VanVleet, I'm not really sure he's in the Dynasty Stash portion of a show anymore. That'll wrap it up for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow to look at the Central Division and Dynasty Stashes there. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Check out wise.com/locked to get that $20 indoor camera. And of course, subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Basketball on the new Himalaya podcast app, also Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Cornette.